The Great Tamasha, James Astill's new book, tells, as the author puts it, the story of the conquest of India by cricket. Tamasha, by the way, means entertainment, and James Astill joins me from London to discuss the spectacle that cricket has become in India since the late 19th century. Welcome to Only a Game.
Well, it's a great pleasure to be with you, Bill.
Cricket came to India with the British. How did it happen that the colonized became such fans of a game brought by the colonists?
The British never meant to proselytize cricket in India. It was never part of a sort of grand colonial design, but it was precisely because of the very elevated view that the Brits had of cricket. For them, it was more than a game. It was an exhibition of great British virtues, of fair play, sportsmanship, of gentility. And it was precisely because of that that various groups of elite Indians wanted to pick up the game, to emulate the British or to impress them, perhaps.
The most popular form of cricket in India today is the game nicknamed T20. Tell us how T20 differs from traditional cricket and why it has become so enormously popular.
It's a short form of the game. It lasts for not much more than 3 hours. It's incredibly stripped down and simple. It's really a matter of which side can blast the most runs in a very short span in cricketing terms. And it's precisely for those reasons that it's been so fantastically popular in India, because India's fabled adoration of cricket is in some ways, as we now understand it, a contemporary phenomenon. Cricket has, for 100 years and more, been India's most popular game by far, and very important to India's sense of itself, especially in terms of representing the country abroad, because cricket was one of the few areas in which India could be competitive with other countries for many decades. But the raging popularity of cricket in India today, the way it's become the most important amusement, entertainment, or tamasha for millions of Indians, the fact that 400 million Indians might gather around television sets when India are playing a big game, this is very new. And it's a consequence of the enormous growth of Indian media, especially the spread of TV, in just the last 15, 20 years. And that has taken the game to corners of India where it was basically unknown and not played only a few years ago.
The Indian Premier League, which features T20, was the brainchild of one Lalit Modi, and it will be a challenge to briefly describe this man, his accomplishments, and his fall from grace, but give it a try, please.
Well, Lalit exemplifies many of the best and worst qualities of India's business elite. He's sharp, he's ambitious, he's exceedingly ingenious and entrepreneurial, and he brought all of those quite remarkable skills to bear in growing a national cricket tournament to a fantastic success in a very short period of time. In 6 months, it was up and running and valued in billions of dollars. But Lalit also had some less attractive elements to his personality. Lalit was operating in an environment with no checks and balances on his power. The institutional robustness of Indian cricket is incredibly weak. It all revolves around powerful personalities who can get power over the game, and he was one of them. And he used that power, it is alleged, excessively. The governance of this tournament was incredibly weak. There were all kinds of allegations of corruption, cronyism, special favours being done to Lalit's friends and families within the tournament. And on the back of these allegations, he was rather dramatically hounded out of the country 3 years after the tournament started. What he showed in his brief, very starry prominence in Indian cricket is just quite how much power and money, political importance, is invested in the game today. That was apparent both in his rise and in his rather dramatic fall.
Tamasha, entertainment, would seem to be an especially appropriate term to describe the phenomenon Lalit Modi created. The IPL games feature not only cheerleaders in hot pants, but Bollywood stars as team owners, as well as celebrities in attendance. How important is the actual game of cricket to the spectacle the IPL provides?
The glitz and the glamour, the sexiness, the pizzazz, the celebrities are, it seems, every bit as important to the average Indian IPL fan as the cricket itself. And the cricket itself is also, not tremendously satisfying, as certainly not compared to to the richness and the endlessly perplexing intricacies of longer forms of the game.
It's fascinating to me that you have chosen to present at the end of your book the image of children playing cricket in the slums, children who say things like, "Cricket is my chance to be famous," while their parents are sitting in rags in crowded huts watching cricket in large groups on TV. The game is a source of joy, but is it also a bright circus, as in give them bread and circuses?
Well, I suppose so, but in the absence of much else to lighten the loads of those slum dwellers who work so hard for such little reward, still it's still a lot better than languishing in poverty in the village. But in the absence of much to lighten their lives, cricket is undoubtedly a great consolation. And I think it was important to make that point at the end of the book, because I believe it, because I think that one should be humble as a fan of sort of highfalutin finest forms of cricket. It's nonetheless important to say, well, cricket means more to those Indians, however untutored they may be in the game's greater glories, than it ever will to me, because it plays such a dominant part in their very hard lives, and we should recognize that, and we shouldn't be snooty, and we shouldn't deny them that cricket, and we shouldn't look down on it, and we should celebrate it, because it says something wonderful about Indian society, even if we may have reservations about what it means for the long-term future of cricket as we know it.
James Astill is the author of The Great Tamasha, Cricket, Corruption, and the Spectacular Rise of Modern India. The book is published by Bloomsbury, and the author joined me from London. James, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Such a pleasure. Thank you, Bill.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. The Music Emporium, for 45 years offering collectible boutique and vintage acoustic guitars. TheMusicEmporium.com. And Eton, offering the American Red Cross radio line a portable solar-powered radio with cell phone charger and flashlight for emergencies or travel. Now at Radio Shack. This is NPR.